We're talking with mayors from all over Wisconsin as part of a series of conversations on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our next stop is Racine, a community bordering Lake Michigan and the county seat of Racine County. Racine's population is close to 78,000 residents. The new U.S. Census figures show a city that shrunk slightly, losing about 1,000 residents since the 2010 census. Do you live in Racine, in Kenosha, Mount Pleasant, another area in that southeast Wisconsin corridor? What issues are most pressing? It's 800-642-1234. Corey Mason was first elected mayor of Racine in 2017. Prior to that, he represented a Racine district in the state assembly for a decade. Mayor Mason, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you this morning.
Well, you recently approved the budget for 2022. It included a 3% pay raise for employees who live in the city limits. What is the goal of this increase?
Oh, great question. I mean, first of all, I just want to say that putting the budget together this year has been much different than it has been in previous years, where we've had to face shrinking deficits, rising costs. So we've had to make some really difficult decisions. That was made much easier this year with the work that Joe Biden did to deliver the American Rescue Plan dollars to cities like Racine and cities all over this country. So it was much different. What we're doing with our employees, though, is we're really trying to encourage more of our employees to be residents. Right now, about one in three employees are city residents. And so we're looking for different ways to incentivize employees to live within the city, recognizing that, you know, if you live in the city, you might pay higher taxes. And that really, if you're a city resident and a city employee, you're contributing to the community in ways that people who don't live here are not. So we find it to be something that's really important around the work that we want to do, and also the work that we want to do around equity and encouraging more of our city residents to become city employees. So it's an important initiative. I'd love to say that we came up with it ourselves, but it's modeled after a program that West Allis and the city of Milwaukee have.
City of Milwaukee did wage and salary incentives for living in city limits in recent years. They also created a task force to study and recommend other things that would encourage city employees to live in Milwaukee. What did you take away from what Milwaukee did?
Yeah, I mean, again, looking at what both Milwaukee and West Allis and other communities around the country are finding, I mean, particularly as the legislature preempts local control around our ability to require city employees to live in the city, you're left with coming up with other tools and incentives. So, you know, we're looking at things like student loan repayment. We're looking at things like home ownership assistance or home repair grants or other things for city employees and city residents more broadly. But things that it's clear if you live in the city, there's a real benefit to doing that versus deciding not to live in the city.
That's
so we want to make some of those criteria available for city employees, but also for city residents more broadly.
At the same time, though, many employees are slammed. They're doing a lot of work, often covering for the open positions due to the great resignation. And my guess is you're trying to hold on to your best and most productive workers, regardless of where they live. Are you concerned the in-city pay bump will weaken morale among your ranks?
No, I mean, I think if we were only doing a bump for city residents and told all the other employees your pay is going to remain flat or that they have to find some sort of concession, I think that would be problematic. But everybody's getting a raise. Everybody's getting more in the HSA contribution. Everybody's getting more in their wage and step increases and a 1% cost of living adjustment. Mm. We're just saying there's an incentive now if you're a city employee. You get to see a 3% additional pay increase.
Some cities have had trouble attracting qualified employees for all the open positions that we're seeing. How has that been in Racine?
Yeah, I mean, so you think you see that everywhere in particular sectors. Certainly as we look for CDL drivers, everybody's looking for CDL drivers in the public and private sector. Everybody's encountering that. Nationwide, there's been a decline of people interested in public safety compared to a generation ago. We continue to have those same challenges that we see across the state and across the country. And so again, it's finding things that make your community stand out and make them different and more competitive with our neighbors and other places across the country that are also competing for workers.
What do you think makes Racine stand out? How do you set yourselves apart?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're a great community with housing that is relatively affordable compared to other communities in Southeast Wisconsin. It's a fantastic community right on Lake Michigan, nestled in between Milwaukee and Chicago. And so if you're looking for that you know, medium-sized city feel that's walkable and scalable and has a nice housing stock that people can still afford to buy with a great public school system and great community assets along Lake Michigan, this is a great place to be. But I think as we look at competing for everyone else, we look at what stands out as our community, certainly the work that we do around community-oriented policing, the work that we do around having a great historic downtown to encourage people to enjoy our community, and really loving everything about Racine and its history, from Kringle to our manufacturing heritage to everything in between. You could do very well in the city of Racine. And even if you don't want to live here, you can come and check out some of the great Frank Lloyd Wright locations that exist throughout the community and have a great day while you're here in the city.
I think you've made this pitch a time or two before. talking with Corey Mason, mayor of Racine. You can join in. Are you from Racine? Live there now? What questions do you have for the mayor? What do you think of the city's recent decision to give employees an in-city pay bump? Are you happy with the presence of Foxconn in the region? 800-642-1234. Let's turn to climate change. In January of 2020, that storm damaged Racine's Lake Michigan storm line, 20-foot waves, 50-mile-per-hour winds. How is climate change affecting Racine?
Yeah, I mean, in a couple ways. So first of all, in addition to it being really bad for the planet and future generations, it also turns out to be very expensive. Climate change is going to be very expensive for the city of Racine and cities all across America, just to get the resilience that we need in place to deal with the climate that's changing with storms that are bigger and more frequent and more damaging. So just in two ways, you mentioned the storm from last January, tens of millions of dollars of damage with historically high lake levels, a 50-year storm combined with it. And we just saw land that was just ravaged on our lakefront. And so we are going to spend a lot of time in the years ahead building that back, but building it back better, to borrow a phrase, in a way that'll be more resilient to the change in climate that we're seeing. It's more and more likely that we're going to see those 1 in 100 year storms more frequently. And so we're going to have infrastructure in place. But the other place that comes into place is with our stormwater and wastewater capacity. Because rains come faster and longer, we don't have the infrastructure for the pipes underground to take that much water that quickly. So we are going to have to spend, again, tens of millions of dollars upgrading our pipes and underground storage tanks just to take the capacity of the increased rains that we're seeing. In an average day, we have plenty of capacity for what comes through our system. It's really those big storms that make it impossible to accommodate the amount of flow that we see. So you're going to see communities like Racine and throughout Wisconsin going to the federal government now that this infrastructure bill is passed, saying, we need help. We need investments in our wastewater systems, in our lakefronts, to make sure that they're resilient for the 21st century and the climate change that's already occurred.
That's exactly what I was wondering, because your city is planning to spend more than $40 million to upgrade storm and wastewater utility capacity to handle those downpours, that influx. And will the federal $1 trillion infrastructure bill be able to help out with the costs of these projects?
It will have to. I mean, it certainly has money set aside for it, whether it's, you know, dealing with the resiliency that we need around climate change or replacing the lead pipes in our community that are not good for human health, that get delivered to our homes every day. There's real infrastructure needs that need to be met with this bill. I hope it's going to be enough to see the change that we need, but it's certainly the biggest investment in infrastructure in America that we've seen in a generation. And we need it. We need it yesterday.
You also aim to reduce Racine's carbon footprint, to decarbonize the economy by 2040. You're also located, though, in that fast-growing industrial corridor between Milwaukee and Chicago along I-94. How do you propose to decarbonize?
Yeah, it's a great question. So here's the challenge, right? It's not just reducing the amount of energy that we use today. It's knowing that the region is going to grow and that there's going to be additional energy needs. Mm-hmm. So that means we simultaneously have to make a more resilient infrastructure and then reduce our carbon footprint while energy needs are increasing. So it takes a real commitment. It is why I really hope the Build Back Better plan that's being debated in Congress passes, that's an historic investment. Currently, the way it's written, with more than $500 trillion in investments to be able to make this transition to a clean energy economy that we desperately need. And it does something that's also really important. It puts us in a place where prioritizing the communities like Racine that have been hardest hit by some of these climate changes and invests in jobs in those communities. So it really does three important things. It addresses jobs, it addresses equity, and it addresses climate change in a way that can be historic and transformational. If we're going to do the right thing and pass on a planet to our kids that's actually going to be sustainable.
Racine Mayor Corey Mason explaining the issues that he takes on in his city in southeast Wisconsin bordering Lake Michigan. It's part of a series of conversations we're having with mayors from across our state. What do you make of Racine's progress and its smart city work? Have you noticed changes? What issues in Racine deserve more attention? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Corey Mason here on the Ideas Network. We're in conversation with mayors from all over Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Racine Mayor Corey Mason is with us looking at roads and infrastructure. The Racine area has a host of road projects underway as part of the State Transportation Department's Wisconn Valley development all around the Foxconn site with a construction end date of 2022. How are roads where you are in Racine? What do you think of the impact of Foxconn to date? What do you want to know about the rubble pile that was removed along the Racine shoreline recently due to the storms at the start of last year? 800-642-1234. Mayor Corey Mason with us for nine more minutes. Let's turn to Foxconn. 4 years ago, the Taiwanese manufacturer had promised to create 13,000 jobs at a facility in your county. Those plans have since all but evaporated. How has that devolving deal affected economic development in Racine?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody would agree that the promise of what Foxconn was going to deliver has been muted substantially. I mean, everybody thought that this was going to be a huge win for jobs in the region. And certainly part of the reason people like me were supportive of it is a city like Racine that's had historically high unemployment, it created what we hoped was going to be a transformational opportunity for employment. That hasn't happened yet. And so we've had to transition and pivot to figure out what is next and what we can do as we try to address jobs, particularly good family supporting jobs that are desperately needed here in the community. It's why we've been working so hard with the ARPA dollars that we've received to really focus on some of these inequities that exist in our community around job training and around youth employment, and some of the work that we want to do to rebuild our neighborhoods in a way that's inclusive of the communities that really need that work. And so we've had to pivot, and thankfully the chance with the rescue funds and hopefully the infrastructure bill and the Build Back Better bills will give Racine the footing that it needs really to build up and rebuild its middle class.
In this pivot, though, localities have spent millions of dollars on land for the Foxconn campus. People forced to move, hundreds of millions of dollars on infrastructure upgrades for, you know, jobs that didn't materialize. What did you take away from this experience?
I mean, I think the most important thing about it is it was a performance-based tax incentive. So the best thing that I think we can say about it is we didn't just write Foxconn a check and hope for the best. They had to perform for the tax credits that they never were able to perform to receive, or at least on a very limited level. So that I think has been really good. But I think, you know, as Mount Pleasant, our neighbor to our southeast, has had to really struggle with what's happened and what hasn't happened, it does give people pause about what these mega deals are like and whether or not we've got the promise is actually delivered. And so again, I mean, as we look at it from a city of Racine, which has lost a lot of manufacturing jobs in the last generation, you know, the promise of 13,000 manufacturing jobs coming to the area seemed like a really important opportunity. It's been muted, right? I mean, there's been some jobs, there's been some development, but nowhere near what was promised when the enabling legislation was passed. And so it's a reminder that that it's great if these opportunities come to fruition, but you can't put all your stock in one thing happening. And it's why, again, we have to pivot and look at our legacy companies that are here and the small businesses that want to grow. And the real need to build up a middle class that has family supporting wages in it that can't be built just around one company that may or may not materialize.
Your 2022 budget has a much closer look at equity and where you do want to see equity in Racine. Can you explain more about what you're doing there?
Yeah, happy to. So, I mean, Southeast Wisconsin, the Milwaukee metro area, the Racine County area, unfortunately, have some of the worst statistics when it comes to inequities for our African-American neighbors. And that plays out in specific areas around educational attainment, around home ownership, around wages, around healthcare outcomes. So we've been really strategic about our ARPA dollars to figure out what can we really do to invest in things that will close some of those gaps around equity. So for example, Racine is the biggest community in the Midwest without a federally qualified health clinic. Hmm. So we're going to invest a good chunk of our ARPA dollars in a health clinic to be able to fill that gap. Part of the reason that becomes so important is what we've learned in the pandemic is if you have a large part of your community that doesn't have a relationship with a doctor or a medical system, the only place they wind up going for medical care is often the emergency room. Well, if you're in a position where you're trying to talk to people who might be hesitant about vaccines or the importance of getting the shot to get us back to a place where we can try to reach herd immunity and get past the pandemic, that gap in healthcare coverage plays a real role around the vaccine hesitancy that we see in our community. Additionally, home ownership in the Racine County area for people of color is one of the lowest in the country. So we're investing in home ownership opportunities for our community, for people to be first-time home buyers and have the opportunity to achieve what is a cornerstone of the American dream through home ownership. We're investing in adult high school education for those individuals who have not taken the opportunity to graduate from high school when they had the chance when they were younger, getting them back on track economically by getting a job after they've completed a high school diploma is so important. And then again, we're investing in job training and youth employment because we want to create on-ramps for people to get into employment and family supporting wages. So we're really taking this historic opportunity to invest these one-time funds over the next couple of years to try to close those inequities and really open the doors of opportunity for many of our residents.
Interesting, because you say one-time funds, these are systemic problems that you are trying to address, and you won't see progress unless you have a really long-term commitment that is more than what one-off time funds can deliver. How can you ensure that you're able to keep these commitments going and work for changes?
Yeah, it's a great question. I heard your previous guest speaking about this too. It's why we've had to be really strategic about the investments that we make, right? So we want to put money into a health clinic that would then be ongoing, right? So we need to help build it, but then we need to plug into a program that has ongoing funding. The work that we want to do around youth employment will be catalytic, but then we need to find other sources of funding to keep those job training and youth employment programs going. I have no doubt that it'll be challenging, and we have sort of a 2-4 window to figure out how to make these programs sustainable. But first and foremost, we want to do as much good for as many people as we possibly can with the resources that we have. That is the charge of ARPA, is to get at the economic impacts of COVID that have laid bare some of our inequities. But as much as possible, we want those funding programs to be sustainable and these sources of resources to be catalytic to something that we hope is ongoing.
Talking with Mayor Corey Mason, Mayor of Racine, in conversations with mayors across Wisconsin as part of a series of discussions here. You can join in 800-642-1234. The city announced recently it will experiment with driverless vehicles. What can you tell us about this pilot project?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this partnership that we have with University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Civil Engineering and Gateway Technical College. But we've really dedicated ourselves around smart city work to use technology to improve the lives of our residents. Some of that has been paused a bit as we've been struggling with COVID, like many programs have. But just last month, we got to unveil the Badger, which is a fully autonomous vehicle that it's fully electric, and we will be able to do research with UW-Madison and Gateway and the city of Racine to see how it works to have an autonomous and automated vehicle on our streets. So we'll start small in parking lots and then build out around the campus at Gateway in our downtown, and then ultimately have the vehicle in the downtown to see how it performs in a real built environment. We were thrilled to sort of unveil the Badger in the 4th of July parade this year, where it ran autonomously, and lots of confused looks from people wondering why nobody had their hand on the wheel. But it is the future. And, you know, Racine has a long history of innovation. At one time, we had more patents per capita than any other city in America. And so this is sort of reclaiming our innovation roots. And I'm really excited to have this opportunity to partner with UW-Madison and Gateway Technical College. People should look for the Badger as we go in the months ahead.
We only have a couple seconds left. Urgent question. We talk with you from time to time. We talk with your brother, the computational biologist, Chris Mason, from time to time. Who is the favorite brother and what was in the Wheaties?
Oh, yeah. So Christopher's much smarter and more charismatic than I am. Full props to him. But the most successful of the three of us is my sister, who is a school teacher who probably does more of it every day, teaching our young students.
Oh, Mayor Corey Mason, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Corey Mason, Mayor of Racine. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.